Blog Talk Radio.
365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowe, coming off of a live and special empowerment leadership summit that we just finished. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the shooting of a brother in the back. You cannot believe what's going on here in America. And then we'll have a potluck round with my main man, Stan, and our co horde of people who are ready to get started. We got the line and the deck is full. Let me bring Stan in. Stan Macklin, are you there?
I'm here, my brother. Glad to be on another wonderful empowerment show.
Hey, welcome, brother. We
and
just finished
so
a wonderful
much going
summit.
On, man. We don't know where to start.
Yeah, we just finished a wonderful summit, and we got some stuff going on in the country. We're going to empower each other. We're going to continue the movement of African-American empowerment or Black empowerment or people of color empowerment, whatever you want to call it. But, again, we talked about leadership. We're going to talk about that. But where do you want to start today?
Well, first of all, I just want to commend you for having the tenacity to sponsor the Leadership Summit. I think that more institutions that help us define our own reality, we have to do things like that. It's good to sit and to listen and to dialogue and to discuss and even debate some of the different things that perspectives that come through. And I just want to commend you, brother, for that. You're really doing some energetic innovation, and I want to say that that's important and that's caliber. Keep it up.
Thank you, brother. And you gave a great presentation yourself. We'll talk about that as well as the as well as Brother George's presentation along with Yolanda's, and then try to get into the shooting that happened that's tragically stopped the NBA from actually playing games in the playoffs. So that's pivotal, man. You know, our athletes are stepping up and just a lot of people around the country. I'm going to go to Brother George real quick and see if we can get our Willie Lynch moment in. Brother George, are you there?
Well, why are you waiting for him, man? I'll tell you, I happen to serve as a chairperson of a newly formed organization called PECO, which stands for People Equality Commission. And we're going to be submitting to our local newspaper and all other media outlets a declaration of enough is enough. And, you know, we've said this so many times as people of color, as Black and brown, but I'm challenging these white brothers, our allies, to be able to make that declaration, because if we don't fight this spirit, I think that it just shows us quite clearly that Black lives don't matter, especially men don't matter at all. And it's nothing new. This is nothing new, but when it's being so blatantly used to be done at night, but just right out the day in the daylight in front of kids, in front of parents, in front of loved ones, there's such a disrespect for humanity, and I think it's the move beyond a thing of civil rights to human rights. I think we're at the state of human rights now, and I just think that we as people, we gotta stand up and stand out to make a difference.
You're exactly right, man, and you know your words ring true to me in so many ways. If it is not us, then who?
Mm,
you
right.
know, I started to show off with better love. We have to love ourselves, man, right? We got to show ourselves that we can love ourselves better. And so as we continue to work this thing, man, and look at what's going on in this country and how things are going, what has to happen? Right? I'm excited about this leadership thing, but real quick, what has to happen? I'm trying to get Brother George in here, but my line is spinning. So we'll keep going, and hopefully as we go through the show, we can bring that segment in a little later. If he can, Brother George, if you're listening, see if you can call back into the show. So let's go. Go ahead. What you got, Stan?
Well, I think that there's such a disdain for Blackness that
Oh,
Blacks
Lord.
Don't count. I mean, the very posture, comfortable posture of Officer Derek Chauvin, who kneed George Floyd to death, shows you that they don't care. They don't care. That brother had that, well, that demon had death. It was a death look, on his face, to the extent he became judge, jury, and executioner all in one place. And then you see what happened to George Blake. That brother, you know, the guy, you know, from the media reports I heard, the guy was going to go check on his kids. He said, I got it, because his kids was in the car and they were crying. And dude going to grab him by the shirt and then pump seven rounds into his back. And thank God he is alive to tell the story. He's alive. And so this is one they're not going to scrim away around, because this brother is alive to tell the story, what went down. And so we need to just stand up against that. And that dude should be in jail right now. He should. I'm sick and tired where they get a paid vacation when they do something that they feel has created an uproar. They got to get a paid vacation. Why do you got to get a paid vacation? Why? What white supremacy does, it sustains and it supports itself, because white is right even when we know it's wrong. It's not right. It's not right at all. Not right. And, you know, when I came up, it had a hatred for the Black Panthers. Anything black, there's a hatred for it. Now it's the Black Lives Matter movement. And just to see a lot of foolish black people who don't even understand what that means, it's just so much propaganda and brainwashing going on that people don't even know what time it is. They don't know. The scripture tells us we're to redeem the times because the days are evil, and it is, very much so. But, hey, can't just take an acquiescent attitude and say, well, it is what it is. It's always been like that. No. Mm-mm. I mean, I'm angry and I'm upset about it. I'm upset about it. And I tell you, I'm going to say this. This is no time to be playing with your spirituality. I'll say it again. This is no time to be playing with your spirituality or wondering where you are in relationship to who you are and what your purpose is on this earth. If you don't have an understanding about that, and you're still searching, you don't need to search anymore. You need to seek and find, and that's the truth, and it's the truth that'll set you free.
Well stated, brother. That's the only truth, right? It's the truth that will make you free or anyone else free.
It's what's cured is true.
We've been here for a long time, man, right? And you know, we got the gospel from our people, right? Who serve this country really well.
Yep.
And we have to continue to honor them with all that we do now. You know, it's very important that we represent our ancestors in our actions.
Right.
Right. What we do really counts now. So it doesn't matter if others believe that black lives don't matter for whatever reason. We have to believe that they do. And we have to continue to focus on ourselves and what's good about us. And so that's where we come in. I want to transition really quickly to the Leadership Summit. And I want you to talk about just briefly your feelings on the experience of being a part of it, and what are some of your takeaways?
Well, you know, it was important. It is important because, you know, being a leader is something that I know that I am, and I don't take for granted, as I think it was Yolanda, she brought up about the different styles of leaders, and just an enormous wealth of knowledge that was brought forth. I just feel that it's going to be a singular leader of the masses. I think that we all going to have to be leaders of ourselves, I shared something in the session. I think we heard it, but I don't know if it really sucked deep. Is that the seed, everything comes from a seed, and a seed is in itself. It is, and we reproduce after our kind. It's a fact. And so once we get that in its proper perspective, things can take place in a unique way. But if we don't understand the purpose of a seed, I mean, you can take a seed, you walk around in your pocket, that's not going to do any good. A seed has to be planted. And all of us come from a seed. We do. And just us being in existence, those seeds, those sperm seeds, fall to unite with the egg, and who we are is who won that fight, who won that journey. That's not per chance. That is a divine intervention that we came into reality. And so, I think that we overlook the divine in so many fashions because, you know, we're on this journey trying to discover who we are, what we are, where we come from, when it's quite plain to those that really want to seek and find. But we do have to honor the pilgrimage of the ancestors because, I mean, their blood, sweat, and tears was not in vain. It was a sacrifice that many of us did. And we should never forget that. Never forget that. There's such a mockery today. And let's bear in mind now, this so-called thing that is known as the church today has literally been shut down. It hasn't been shut out, but it's been shut down in terms of the masses going to that. It's not the same no more. And I don't think it's going to be the same because I think that it's time where we must give our undivided attention to what time we're living in. We have to do that. And if we don't redeem the times, we're just doomed.
Doomed. We're in a fight right now. And we have a desperate need for self-awareness. We have a desperate need for leadership. So the board is stacked. So let me go to Brother George first, and then we'll start in on our callers for today. Brother George, can I get you on the line? Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. You there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Yes.
Come on through, brother. Yes, sir.
Okay, you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay. I was looking, I lost track of my Willie Lynch book, but this is very relevant to today's topic.
Brother George, wait. How you going to lose the book, man? That's the manual. That's our freedom manual. You got to cut it out.
I lost track of the manual. I'll have it next week. But this is very interesting because in Naeem Akbar's book called Changing Images of Psychological Slavery, which is an extension of Willie Lynch, he states that probably one of the most destructive influences which has grown out of slavery is the disrespect of African-American leadership. The allegory is seen throughout nature that the most certain way to destroy life is to cut off the head, from the turkey to the cow to the man. The most immediate way to bring death to a body is to remove its head. This is especially true as a social principle. One of the things that was systematically done during slavery was the elimination of control of any emerging head or leader. Slave narratives and historical accounts are full of descriptions of atrocities brought against anyone who exemplified real leadership capability. The slaveholders realized that their power and control over the slaves was dependent upon the absence of any indigenous leadership amongst the slaves. That is exactly what Willie Lynch put into effect.
Wow.
And
I
so
like that,
were
brother.
We're talking about leadership today. And, you know, it was ironic that I found another book and it, you know, expressed exactly what we're talking about today, the idea of leadership and its importance.
Well, can you go back to the head part again? Can you run that by us one more time, please?
Yes, sir.
I want y'all to listen to this now.
The allegory is seen throughout nature that the most certain way to destroy life is to cut off the head, from the turkey to the cow to the man. The most immediate way to bring death to a body is removal of the head. And that's what they did with our leadership. Without leadership, then you have no head. You just got a body that's running around with a neck, with no head to guide you. And that's what leadership
wow.
is.
You know they used to say running around like a chicken with your head cut off. That's what they used to
yes,
say back
sir.
In the day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, George, for that. Stay with us because I'm coming
yes,
back to you. Brother Stan, what you got? And
well,
before you start, Stan, I'm going to 1683 after Stan. So get ready. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, that's a reality. You know, the supreme powers have always been attacking the, you might say, the heads in terms of trying to cut off the movement. And, you know, back in the day, people just look to the preacher to do some leading. That's not the case today. We know that. But
that's true.
There was some trust there, but it's gotten away from that, and there has been a big chasm that does exist. You know, I was thinking about the recent death of John Lewis, you know them. You know, they passed the torch on, you know. He passed the torch on, per se, to me. I'm right up under him. And, you know, when them brothers, they left us a legacy that we must carry on. Brother just brought it out in a way that it makes a lot of sense, because that's why they always want to know who's the leader, who's the leader, who's the leader. Where I think if we take the individual approach that we're all leaders and develop our leadership potential,
mm-hmm.
That's more effective.
Man, I tell you this, they might not have got his head, but they sure got him with those bullets, right? So that brother
mm-hmm.
is paralyzed, and they're talking about he's handcuffed to his bed. If you've been shot in the back 7 or 8 times, I'm not sure the number, I think it's 7. Why in the world? Well, I'm going to the line. I'm just going to hold that. 1683 is the Barber Network, Marvin Rona, Stan Macklin. We're in a critical time. Talk to me, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
I can't seem to get him in. It's spinning again.
You're
so I'll turn that over to you right quick, Stan. Where are we with that the shooting the man? An unarmed man, an African-American man with children in the back, right?
Well, he's looked upon as a criminal. I mean, by the fact, here he is practically incapacitated and chained to the bed. What can he do? But he's still looked upon as a criminal. That shows you the sickness in their mind that here you feel this individual is still a threat to you, that you got to chain him to the bed. Where are you going after you've been shot in the back for 7 times? Come on. I guess you wanted to be like Walter Scott out there in North Charleston, South Carolina, who when you shot him in the back, that was the end of it. I tell you, enough is enough.
You got that right. Enough is enough. I'm trying to get these callers in, man, and this line is spinning. They're blocking me today, but that's all right. All right, I think I got you. 1683, come on in.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, 7974, you're on live.
Hello?
Oh, I think we got it. Hold on a second. 7974-1683, are you there?
I'm here. You can't hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Come on through.
Go ahead.
All right. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. All I want to say is, and it's going to sound cold, it's going to sound harsh and all that, and I apologize up front for it, but this is where I am, and we have to realize something.
Y'all get ready.
We've been honoring the wrong people in our past, our ancestors. We've been honoring and recognizing Negroes who have sold us out in the past. That's why we're where we are today.
Don't be mad.
We've been honoring because we have to understand on January 1st, 1863, when Negroes left the plantation. House niggas left, field niggas left, radical niggas left. And it dawned on me earlier this week that I missed a common denominator. And a common denominator is they were all niggas when they left the plantation. And in this dog-eat-dog world we live in, look out for number one, we've been selling each other out. The more we can give the white folks, the more reward we get. Okay, the better house nigga I can be, the more reward I'm going to receive. And we've been honoring people for 400 years that have sold us out. That's why we don't have progress in our communities, because we've been honoring people who have done things to put us in the communities that we are in. And put us in the situations that we are in. We've been honoring the wrong folk. We've been raising flags up and marching down the streets and honoring the Negroes. And I'm using the word Negro today. You know, I haven't said nigga. We're using the word Negroes today who have sold us out.
Yeah, you said
you know, we're honoring people who have sold us out. They have sold us out, man. I mean, and I understand with them. I sympathize with them because they didn't know who they were.
Who are these people? Let's name some names, brother. Who is the ones that sold us down the river? Come on, let's go right on out there.
Yeah, you bold enough to
give me one. Just name them, man, in that category. All of them. Preachers have sold us out. Teachers have sold us out. Dr. King sold us out. Malcolm sold us out. All of them sold us out because they were house niggas when they left the plantation. We are the descendants of house niggas. We must understand that. Slavery broke us down.
My grandma ain't no house nigga.
You done turned into the barbershop.
Slavery prepped us to go forward in this society called America. That's what slavery did. Slavery prepped us, and when they put us on the trading block, I got niggas for sale. Not black men and black women. I've got niggas for sale. Who want to buy?
I got to agree with you on that.
Meaning I done broke them all down. I done prepped them. They ready to now come out into the society. The South prepped us to integrate into the rest of the country.
All right, right there. Let me hold you right there, brother. Let me hold you. Keep that fire burning. Hold on 1 second. We're going to come back to you in a minute. Stan, give me a follow-up on that, and then I'm going to 6050. What you got, brother? That brother is, he's right on some points, though. Hey, but don't be talking about Dr. Martin Luther King because he got a holiday.
He's right on some points, but the freedom fighter,
he rattled some cages.
He had a goal. He kept his eye on the prize. Eye on the prize. And I think that we can't lump everybody in the same boat. you know, I think everybody's in a boat now, and it's going in a specific direction, but we got to be careful in how we do that. We understand quite clearly that there are some very fundamental challenges with us as a people. But we're resilient people. Where that come from? I mean, we're almost, I hate to say it, but we're almost like the roach. You can't kill us. You can't kill us. We keep coming back. And I wanna commend those who knew what they did know to make a difference for what needed to be done, regardless of how ignorant they were. Somebody's got to rise up and stand up to make a difference. Everybody can't be a Nat Turner. Hello? 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 Huh?
Okay, I think we're back now. I think we're back. We apologize. Man, this is crazy. Craziness, but that's all right. We're going to keep moving. Let's see. Stan, are you there? Let me see if I can plug back in.
I'm
Stan,
here.
Stan, you? All right. Man, hey, sometimes it's like that. But again, the leadership is being able to face adversity, right, and be able to deal with
that's right.
calmly and collectively. All right, so let's pick back up. I'm going to 6050 Empowerment
ahead,
Network.
Call.
Marvin Ronan, Stan Hello. Macklin. Are you there?
Hey, how you fellas doing?
Hey, doing
I'm
well.
Doing, yeah. So one of the, you know, it's interesting. A couple of the gentlemen there started, and I think Stan was one of them, was extolling the virtues of leadership. And in the same conversation, they provided a reason why the leadership as we think of it today doesn't work. They talked about cutting off heads. That's called a single point of failure. You never have a single point of failure. So I'm sorry, I'm in technology, so it's kind of so you never have a single point of failure. So they just gave the best reason ever why we need to rethink this whole leadership model thing. It's a single point of failure. As far as the shooting this week, how many more years are we going to act like we're surprised every time this happens?
He said years.
And how many more years? This has been going on for how many years? Since lynching and stuff? We've always been acting surprised.
Goes way back to the 60s, man. Brother than that.
Why are we still acting like we're surprised?
Brother, I couldn't believe what I saw. I just couldn't believe that's the same thing with George Floyd. You just can't believe that human beings would do that too. I mean, but we're used to it now, right? Or are we? Go ahead, Carla.
No, we're not immune to it. It's the shock of doing that. I mean, you know, there's always been people around us who just were blunt, as we might say. They blunt in what they say, blunt in what they do, and that's just the way they were and are. But man, it's something that you just can't get immune to.
Okay, now I'm talking to the men here. I'm going to talk. This is going to be strictly a comment for the men. How long are we going to run the con game of being surprised every time this happens? Because when this happens a couple months from now, we're going to do the same thing. Can you believe it? Did you see what happened? It's a con game. I believe we're scared. And what we do is we feign being surprised because the other alternative is actual action, putting together some kind of plan of action going forward.
Such as what? Go get some guns?
Well, no, that's not what I said. I said solving the problem. If there's an issue, you sit down, put everything on the table, and you solve the problem. I think that that's fear.
I like that.
I don't think we want to admit to the women and the children, our women and our children, that we got nothing. And I'm going to run a test. So let's say I'm a white guy, and I'm down with what's going on. And you tell me everything that you say. White people did this and white people did that. Let's say that you guys say all of that. And I want you to respond to me. I'm a white guy, and I'm a white supremacist. Oh, yeah, we did that, and we're going to keep doing it. What you going to do? Now give me your response. Exactly. That silence you hear on the line, that's what I'm talking about.
You didn't give me a chance to respond.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I want to respond in a way that got your attention.
I got a whole lot to say. Go ahead, Stan.
Okay. Go ahead.
What I was going to tell you was, that's the last time that you're going to do this. Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm putting a stop with it right now, starting with you.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to see if that's going to play out. But then the other brother has something to say, too. So go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to be honest, and we're on the radio, but I'm transparent. I'm not the turn-the-cheek kind of guy. I'm going to deal with it head-on. Right? And I think that's what leadership is all about. You can't be afraid to stand up and say what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have had freedom fighters ever since we've gotten started on this thing. And some
mm-hmm.
have lost their lives, Nat Turner, Gabriel Prosser. You can go down the line on people who stood in the gap. So I don't think that, and I'm just being transparent, I don't think we are punks. Right, but I think we're in a system that continues to neutralize us at every turn.
Like
we have to have strategies in place in order to be effective at counteracting the situations that go on in our community. I'm going to hold you right there, brother. I'm going to go to the line, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going to bring the sisters in. Come on in, 7974, and then I'm going to bring in let me see if the general's on the line. 0946, I'm bringing you up next. 7974 is Empowerment Network. Hold tight, brother.
Well, yeah, we got a fire going now.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would say that I think that it's not so much, in my opinion, that it is we're, as a community, surprised. But I think when you desensitize our humanity, which has made it possible for the nation to continue to allow these things to be acceptable, is that they've normalized it. And I think once we stop having a reaction, even if the reaction is surprise or fatigue, which is, in my case, what I am dealing with today is flat-out fatigue. But I think when you begin to normalize the behavior and to say, oh, just another black man, black woman, whatever, shot and killed, it's not so much, I think, in the spaces that I'm seeing and I interact with as shock and surprise as it is here is another time we need to elevate. Right, that this is not okay, because part of how this continues to happen is that our humanity is not seen, right? It's not visible. You know, that's how you think from the mentality of slavery and how you create genocides, right? You convince people that there's not humanity in the person, right? The fact that this man is handcuffed to his bed and paralyzed, and Cal Rittenhouse, the white boy with the assault rifle, was able to shoot those people and walk past and be offered a bottle of water. And now that a Christian right group has raised over $100,000 for him, this is, again, right, talking about, we can't get rooted in it being a shock. And to the point around, I think talking about black men and fear and what would you say to a white supremacist, I don't have to say anything, period. I don't know an explanation, and I don't have to tell you to a white supremacist how I feel or offer the next explanation mm-hmm. of what my next move is going to be. I think moving in silence is really the best way, as we talked about before. But I think to that notion, right, there's many different ways. And to your point about leadership, to the caller that spoke about being a new way of leading, right, and having different ways of leading, I think it's like a puzzle piece. We don't have just one plan of attack for this type of stuff, right? There's going to be people who can go to the streets, right? There's going to be people who can we can legislate, right? You can't legislate out racism. I mean, there's laws. And you can unpack that. But I think there's lots of different ways that you can approach a situation. And I think people have to be empowered and believe that they can make a change, or we're going to fall into this apathetic state where we continue to be the consumers of our own state-sanctioned violence, if you will, against our bodies. And we're going to continue to see this voyeurism of death in the black community. I think each of us can be empowered to do everything that we can do. And I think you're going to see people who have situational leadership that rise up in cases, you know, around these things. But in terms of being shocked, I don't personally believe that it is always necessarily a shock. I think there's an emotional reaction that as mm-hmm. black people we need to continue to have, because once we stop having that, we have then deemed that our humanity is not valid and it continues to be invalidated by our white supremacist structure.
We just mm-hmm. don't have enough time. We need more time, man. This thing is hot. 0946. 0946, let me bring you in.
Yes,
let's get your go ahead,
yes,
General.
Good afternoon. I think that one part of what you say is that this is very complex. It's not a one issue or one thing that's mm-hmm. going to solve anything. I think that there needs to be spaces to grieve. Mm. Spaces to strategize, spaces to be truthful about what has happened in our history, spaces to be able to be willing to evaluate that it didn't work. As much as we loved our leaders and they did the best they could, we have to come to grips with perhaps what they did wasn't the best thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's, because it's so multidimensional and it's so complex, it's so easy to want to nail it down and trim it down to one particular thing when it's African-American people. We've been damned on every front, from the part of that list that you read in the Leadership Summit, Marvin, about, you know, just redlining, black codes, slavery. You know, just the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I think where our challenge is coming together with our different expertise mm-hmm. and offering a perspective, not a judgment, because mm-hmm. even if our leaders did do wrong, judging them is not going to go well with the community. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
If we're condescending mm-hmm. About it, it's just not going to go well. So we also have to deal with the reality of our tradition and our culture. And we have a culture that we have to recognize and honor and respect, you know, regardless of its semblance and pieces of stuff. But it is a part of who we are, and we did the best we could do with what we had. So we have more information now. Now that we got more information, what are going to be some of the steps we do from this point on? But I think going mm-hmm. back and demonizing everybody is just
mm-hmm.
– or demonizing
right.
anybody's approach to fight or to do something does not do as well as a collective. Individually, maybe, but as a collective, it doesn't. So, yeah, we're scared. Yeah, we don't have some strategies that we need. Yeah, we have spaces we need to grieve. Yes, our leadership did this stuff. Okay, all of that is fine, but I think we have to come together and put it in perspective and in mm-hmm. context and then move forward.
True. I do think we have to look at the error in our ways at some point. But let me
yes, we do. Yes.
let me slide on over, right? I'm going to go to Brother George, right? Brother George, you've been listening to all of this. What you got?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Go ahead, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
I heard what the brother said, and I agree that there's a certain amount of fear, you know, of being unprepared. And I think that the overall point with the black community is that we have pretty much accepted the strategy of nonviolent resistance back from the civil rights days. The majority of our leaders still are from the civil rights days, and they agreed upon a strategy of nonviolent resistance. In other words, taking abuse and not responding to it. And so it's gotten to the point now where they kill us and we still don't respond to it. But that was a strategy. And until we figure out another strategy or choose to go another way, then that's going to continue to happen. I don't really think that it's like a fear, like we're afraid to fight. I think it's a fear that we haven't put together a plan to execute something like that. And what is on the other side of that? You see, we don't have an idea of what is on the other side of that. Now, with the hopes of, you know, integration, then it's still like a great hope amongst a lot of our leadership that integration will take place. Now, whether I personally agree with that or not, I'm just giving my thoughts on why things are the way that they are with us. But I will tell you this. When I seen that video of that militia and 1,500 brothers, I started feeling safer.
We need some protection, right? I will say that, right? This country allows for you to arm yourself, right? You have the right to bear arms. Again, I don't think you had a right to shoot a person in the back 7 times or knee somebody to death, but that's another conversation. I'm going down to 1683, Stan. 1683, let's see what you got, brother. Come on in and tell us what you got.
All right. I agree with the brother that said we are afraid, because I'm speaking to the brothers now. This is man to man. There's no way as men you continue to allow to the things that are happening to our people, to our children, and you don't do anything about it. It's like in the movie Dango, when Leo Campanella, whatever his name is, the white boy told Jamie Foxx, he said, for 17 years, that nigga shaved my daddy out there on that patio 3 times a week. 17 years, 3 times a week, with a straight razor. He said, as I would have cut my daddy's goddamn throat long time ago for what he did to me, if he treated me like he treat black people. That's a white man talking. That's the question we need to ask. Ask white folks, what would you do if you were being treated by a race of people like you're treating us? What would you do? And as men, come on now. As men, we have to stand up. I don't want to hear all the lollygagging and the talking and about our leaders of the past and they didn't know what they were doing. And so I acknowledge that they didn't know what they were doing, but they sold us out. Call it what you want to call it. That's why we're in the position that we're in today. I'm not going to honor him. I understand the situation that he was in. I love him because he was my brother, but the Negro sold us out. And we
don't
know
what I'm
going to
call it. I was the African chief.
I'm going to call it humanity, right? And I think that's what we possess that others in this world don't. And I think when you look at the method and the mission of some of our ancestors has been to be humane. And that,
brother,
I think, is an element that some people just don't have.
Would you agree that freedom isn't free? And if you really want to be free, you have to be willing to die for freedom. not keep hope alive, not go out of your way to honor and just constantly begging people. It's like Doc Rivers said this week with tears in his eyes. We love America. We continue to love America, but America won't love us. Come on now. How long are you going to keep doing that and believing in that? You leave a woman if you had a woman that, I mean, or everybody would be calling you a fool. You know, you realize a woman don't, how long are you going to beg a woman to love you that you know don't love you? Sleeping with other men around you and disrespecting you and destroying everything about her is degrading to you. How long are you going to stay and take that? That's why I agree with the brother. We won't man up. We're not willing to sacrifice for what we say we won't. You say you won't heaven? Heaven ain't free, brother. You
well, what's the alternative,
you got
brother?
To be,
brother? What's the
we
alternative?
Got to
you got
together.
Brothers like Stan doing the Harriet Tubman Culture Center. You got people out here who are on the streets who are doing things most effective in their community as possible, but we can't stop them from being who they are. I don't think that's possible. But
then
what's
the
alternative?
We need to be who we are. We need to stop focusing on white folk and how white folks treating us and how white folks are and focus on ourselves. If black lives truly matter, we need to show the world that black lives truly matter. I don't need you to tell me my life matters.
They do. When you stand up and take a stand, they do respect you. Now, and there's different classifications of white folks, too. They ain't all in the same boat. The white supremacist is the one, all those hillbillies that was up there in Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, that was getting ready to lynch that dude who was going of all days to the beach on July 4th, trying to identify with some white allies, I guess what he called them. He found out just how much it was, because he almost got lynched out there. But the point of it is there's different classifications of white folks.
I respectfully disagree.
All right, we can do that on this show.
Because if it was not, man, they are some good white people.
Good white people, wherever you are, if you're listening, call in and tell us how good you are, because we got some good white people out there.
That's right.
I'm gonna have to hold
you right
there, brother. I'm going back to the brother that started it all. 6050, you started this. 6050, where you at?
Yeah, that was intentional. Yes, I did start it. But
You started all of this. You are a troublemaker on this Empowerment Saturday, calling us punks.
Absolutely.
And now you done got the brothers all up in arms and the sisters saying we need to do something. What you got?
Well, the sisters is right if she said we need to do something.
I apologize to him the other week. Remember?
I apologize to him wrong. I do too.
Yeah, you did.
I do too. Everything.
I'm sorry, sisters.
Everything that's going on. This is our thing. This is the equivalent of you're sitting in bed with your woman and you hear noise downstairs, and the kids are in their room. This is the equivalent of that.
Are we saying you go? Baby, you go on downstairs and check it out.
Yeah.
Man.
We say, okay, babe, come on, get the kids, and we all going to go downstairs and see what somebody down there. That's what we're doing.
And they've done that.
And at least we should admit it. At least we should say, look, Our kids are dying in these streets, and our men are dying. These brothers are dying, and sisters are dying, because we have not come up with a way to stop it.
I don't know about y'all city, but in our city, it ain't like that.
All right, I'm gonna bring the sisters back in.
My city, I walk with my head up high.
We have not
7974
to stop it.
And 0946, come on in. I'm bringing both of y'all.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that, you know, lots of good points are being made on the phone. But what I will say about kind of, and I think this is Sibonita's point, about criticizing, you know, past leadership and looking at ways to do things differently, I think that context is really key and important. And I think we have to think about our degrees of freedom in a white supremacist culture, right? access and opportunity. And so I think, again, leadership is really important in the access and the critique of leadership. There's nothing wrong with critiquing leadership, right? But you have to critique it in the right context. If you can critique it with the lens, right? So if you use a hammer as a tool to fix everything, then everything becomes a nail, right? And it's not the case. So you have to use the right tools and the right lens to critique and use what you're critiquing. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I actually encourage it because through critique, we can find clarity, right? And if clarity is what we're looking for, then that should be the outcome. But I think when it's critique for critique's sake, when we don't have the context, right, we can't get in a time machine or build a DeLorean and go back to whenever and say, okay, this is how I would have did it. It's the same thing when people say today, if I was a slave, I would have never did that. You don't know what you would have did. You would have probably absolutely did the same things that everybody else did, okay? So I think hindsight is 20/20, but I think we can use the past to historically critique how we can make a better game plan. That's what you do, right, when you're playing sports. You take and look at game footage of what happened before you come back and play that next game, and it helps critique and streamline what you do and make you more effective.
But I think that's what's going on. I think people, we're looking at the film, the game footage, and we're looking at the mistakes that were made. That's all.
All right. I like that. Go ahead. We got about a minute left, so go ahead, sister.
I agree with what the brothers are saying, and like it in different spaces you can talk about things, because I do believe that black women domesticate their sons. Especially when there's no father in the house, we raise a man like we would raise a daughter. That's the only thing we have available. And we in our circle are saying, I'd rather the black man be alive at any cost. And that I think that's damning, because I'd rather you live like any old thing than you die for what is right. And I think that with women, we're not geared up for that. That's not our makeup a lot of times. But men have that makeup. They would tell their sons, look, we are going to make sure this is going to be done. And ain't no such thing as turning back. And if we're going to go, we're going to die like men. We're going to, you know, I mean, and I think that's something that is women – we don't have that capacity to do with our young boys. I don't think, but that's a time and a space. I would do that among women so that it wouldn't make it seem like that I was criticizing women, because I'm not. We're doing the best that we can, but we do have to look at the results of what we're doing.
Amen.
That's all we got. That's all the time we got. Next week, come back.
In a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running. Every
change gonna come.
It's been a long
one day. Whether we fight or not,
time coming, but I
whether
know
we strong or weak, change is gonna come.
Change gonna come.